It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair.
PHL Nation, so happy to be with you on a glorious Thursday after one of our more controversial shows last night. Andy Staples was enemy number one. He's still the enemy number one of LSU fans, some LSU staffers. I am of the belief that you bring in people with different, obviously, viewpoints, especially if they are a prominent national media member, and Andy Staples is up there outside of, you know, the big insiders. And then of course, Herb Street and those guys, it's probably in that next tier, one of our biggest guests ever. And he brought it and he hung out with us for an hour and a half and it got very intense. We'll talk about some of that today. Obviously JVR Suggs has been the story today, Grand Valley State. So he includes LSU in his Final Four. And I get it. Well, he's at Grand Valley State. This can't be what the plan was all along. This can't be LSU football and us having to settle for a transfer from Grand Valley State. Now, what I want to do, I want to ask you, and it's perfectly fine. You can absolutely, positively just give me your best and I guess you could say most honest opinion here. Are you open to a defensive tackle coming in from Grand Valley State? Okay. Are you okay with it? Because the truth, your best corner next year is from Southeastern. In fact, there's actually quite a few three-star-ish middle tier four-star guys that are going to be leading your defense next year. Here's JVR Suggs. You're taking a look at his Twitter. There is the top four announcement. It's down between LSU, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Kentucky. The good news is, well, if he doesn't pick LSU, he's going to a school where he can't hurt us. We don't play Kentucky. We don't play Michigan. We don't play Wisconsin. I did like that he didn't have LSU in his top six, and then he switched to a top four, and LSU was in it. Okay, so you see, this is a top six. Those South Carolina, Wisconsin, Arkansas, Florida State, Kentucky, Michigan. LSU came in. Obviously, Brian Kelly, very well connected at Grand Valley State, one of their biggest celebrities. And the truth is, as you can see, this young man visited USC. So it's not like only LSU was after him. He visited Florida State. Florida State, well, if we're being honest, probably had the best defensive tackle room in America last year with Braden Fisk and Fabian Lovett. He got an offer from Missouri. He visited Kentucky. Got an offer from Michigan, who also has a very good defensive tackle room. Got an offer from Oklahoma. Got an offer from Wisconsin, who we just took one of their best defensive linemen a month and a half ago. Arkansas visit. Boilermaker visit. You get the point. I understand. A lot of us are viewing this as scraping this to the bottom. And I also understand that a lot of teams are in position where they're like, oh, well, look, we stink when it comes to defensive tackle demand. I didn't say that smoothly at all. There is a high demand of defensive tackles in the transfer portal. And there's not a lot of supply. So it could be that all these schools like LSU are panicking just to get any other defensive tackle into the room. Okay? That could be it. But there are just a few too many teams that have good recruiting pedigree that are saying that they're interested. Okay? So, look, I don't care where he's from, as long as he could play. Now, I know a lot of you are coming here for an opinion on if I think he could play. I think he's okay. I do. I mean, I didn't – I had obligations for my NFL channel today that I had to do. Thanks to our friends at nooffseason.com. Shout out to Paul Hickey and the crew. So I wasn't able to do my own scraping and clawing of Grand Valley State full game footage. But based on the limited things I've seen, sure. He's not the biggest guy. He's a 280-ish kind of guy. So, you know, is that really big enough to play in the SEC? It's whatever at this point for me. You know, I also think defensive line is a little bit different than offensive line. I think you can get DTs and defensive linemen from anywhere. You know, a lot of you are mentioning Jared Verse being from Albany, you know, J.J. Watt from Central Michigan, Braden Fisk from wherever. Whatever the case may be, LSU needs a defensive tackle, and hopefully JVR Suggs is that guy. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about Aiden Huntington tonight. It's not that I've gotten information that things have cooled off, but it is what it is. Now, next thing. I got an angry message from a longtime viewer. I won't say who. I'll keep them anonymous. And they said, well, Carter, I didn't like the J. Andy Staples on yesterday. And so I said, why? He said, well, he's hating on LSU, and we're down. And this is always my opinion. I won't say who, but we've had a guest on here before who also didn't paint LSU in the absolute best light. And I got angry messages about it. And guess what? It's fine. It's fine. It's not as if Andy came on here and totally trashed Brian Kelly. He agreed with LSU's decision to not fork over more money to go get Dominic Williams. That gets lost in all of it. I agreed with a lot of what Andy said. And there were some tense moments in the interview. You could see it for yourself. I started off letting him know how much he's hated by a lot of LSU fans. And I'm not giving him a limb to stand on. He doesn't need me. I asked him before any of this came out to come on the channel. So if anything, me not canceling the interview should be given some credit. I had everything to lose, right? But I vaguely have known Andy, and I got a lot of compliments about our chemistry and all that stuff. And I have not talked to the man in since, like I told you, since the 2011 LSU-Alabama game. And I thought his opinion on Brian Kelly on Thursday night was very good. I was in line with what I had to say. And then on Saturday, he went even harder on BK. Obviously, a lot that I agreed with, a lot that I disagreed with. But look, I will also say this. This might not be the channel for you if you can't handle some difficult conversations. This goes for anyone. I've always said this. If you're not a diehard LSU football fan, this channel is not for you. You have got to love this team. And you've got to understand that there are ups, There are downs. As with any organization that you love, there's going to be things you agree with. There's going to be things you disagree with. Okay? And as you guys know, I heavily vet my guests. We have never had a bad guest on here. Never, ever, 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 ever. You can go listen to every single interview. Every single one of them was pretty compelling in my mind. And there are some of you that have watched every single interview that we've done. So I understand that it's fine. It's fine if we there's going to other fans from other teams jump in our chat. You know, I rarely block them. Rarely do I block them. Now, if you do something racist or misogynistic, or if you get trolly, I'll block you. But, you know, it's important to understand that it's okay to bring on someone here that has an opposing viewpoint. And the guest was booked before everything he had to say the next morning when he released a column that went in on him, and he did a video and went in on him. Now, not everyone liked the fact that I had Andy on here. That's fine. If you want to cancel me, that word is overused anyway. That's perfectly fine as well. But understand, once again, I won't say who, but we have had a guest on here that destroyed LSU. And I didn't expect that, but he did. And guess what? Life moved on. All right? Life moved on. Also say this. Andy had Cortez Hankton on the channel a few weeks ago. So why would he be anti-LSU and then have Cortez on a show? And then, you know, last night, talk about LSU's tailgating, beating out Ole Miss's crappy, overrated tailgating. He doesn't hate LSU. I'll tell you that. He just doesn't hate LSU. And I know he graduated from Florida, and I hate Florida. He probably, there's a piece of him that probably doesn't like LSU, but that's just a fan in him. I can recognize that Florida has a lot of good things about him. Okay. But I'll move on that. I've gotten a lot. I got one pretty detailed message about not liking Andy being on here, but most of it was mostly good. All right. Once again, not everyone's going to like everyone that's on here. Some of you don't like me. You watch me because you hate me. That's why Howard Stern had such high ratings. They did a poll when Howard started getting so popular. And what their data showed is half the people that listened to that guy hated his guts. Now, Howard's not the same Howard. He'll never be the same Howard again. But primetime Howard Stern was a revolutionary time in media. And in fact, how I interview people, I have learned from Howard Stern. I used to listen to Howard interview people all the time. And that's how I learned to. And I would listen. You know, obviously there's other great sports media people that are great interviewers, but I think Howard will always be the number one interviewer in any format. In any format. Let's go to TJ here. What if we're all wrong and the defense somehow carries the team more than the offense this year? Who do you think would have to step up and be a star for us next year for that to happen? This is a very good super chat, and I don't think this is completely out of line. So, let me start this, TJ, by saying I'm excited to see you here in a month. Or is it? Actually, it is a month. That's crazy, man. But I gotta download some more Louisiana bounce music now that I think about it. Well, we'll talk about that in our consultation phone. Our consultation phone call is coming up. Pretty soon. We are in business together, for those that don't know. Shout out Louisiana Controls, LouisianaControls.com. They got a new website. Check them out, Louisiana Controls, LouisianaControls.com. And I didn't announce this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, because these were actually just mailed in today. Now, I want this to be clear. These are not real autographs, but they're still cool. So, TJ, congratulations. I'm hooking you up. Whoever the first super chatter was going to get this. You're going to get this Jamar Chase It's a facsimile auto, but this was one of Jamar's first iconic moments. Touchdown versus Southeastern Louisiana. That's going to you. Congratulations, DJ. Let me start by saying this. Lincoln Riley is going to put up points on us in the first game. Okay? It's just how this is going to work. We really don't have a whole lot of film on how his offense is going to be run next year with Miller Moss. We have a good idea of what Lincoln's going to do. But more than likely, they're going to have some success. I will say this. As far as the bodies that are in LSU's room right now, do I feel the LSU coaching staff is excited about their personnel? Okay. I would say maybe. Okay. I will say this. I don't think LSU feels that they don't have enough guys in their room right now to field a good defense. They've got enough blue chip guys to field a good defense. They've got enough talent to field a good defense. The issue comes, do you have a team where you feel it is deep enough to field a good defense for an entire season? That's the question you've got to answer. Okay? You know, you think of the absolute best defenses that have won national championships. One of the most underrated aspects of the greatest LSU team of all time was how freaking deep they were. They were so deep everywhere. Okay? There was not a spot on LSU's roster where they were not that deep. The only one that you can really even consider would be running back. And maybe tight end, but every single position on the 2019 LSU team was pretty stacked, and in particular on defense. You know, they had a legit good defensive line rotation. Now, the only area where they probably didn't have a whole lot of depth on defense was a Jack, right? The chase on to the next guy was a pretty big gap. And Burrow to Brennan, of course, but that's quarterback. It's a different thing. But it's insane how deep they are. LSU's defense is just not deep. It's just not deep. Like, I think that they can get, like, let's just say today the season started and they had to field an LSU defense. I think they could have a good surprise opponent versus some teams, because I think Blake Baker is a good defensive play caller. One thing that I'm going to pay close attention to this next year, TJ, because I've gone back and rewatched the Missouri games. And one thing that I've tried to pay attention to, TJ, is how much was the LSU defensive success based on scheme, or was it based on the sheer amount of talent that Missouri's defense had? Because they did have a lot of guys get selected in the early rounds. They had two corners and a defensive lineman and Tyron Hopper, their linebacker. It's a lot of guys. It's four of your starting 11 that were draft picks, not just tag along seventh rounders. I mean, they were drafted. And honestly, the scheme was really good. It really, 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 really was good. So I think there's going to be some games where Blake Baker just has a maestro performance. And I keep going back to this. This is still the most impressive thing. Baker had one bad game in 26 games at Missouri. One bad game where he wasn't playing a transcendent quarterback. So I don't include Jaden Daniels, because Jaden Daniels put up 7 yards per play on every defense that he played. So that doesn't count. He had one bad game. In 26 games, he had one game where you had a favorable matchup and you didn't play well. That is ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, I would say that it's a stretch to think that the defense is going to carry us because our offense is going to be pretty good. But there's going to be a game, though, TJ, where Garrett Nussmeier is just not going to be good. It is virtually impossible for a first-year starter to play a perfect game or not have a bad game at least once during the course of the season. You're going to need a defense to bail you out. You know, so there you go. Now let's go to the second point. Who do I believe would need to step up and be a star for us next year for that to happen? Now, I'm going to be honest with you, TJ. This is something I'm working on, and the patrons will get first dibs. And look, please join our PHL Patreon, patreon.com/LSU football. And I had a private conversation with someone that I trust who's in the building. Okay. And we had a discussion about Sage Ryan. Okay. And, you know, what I was told is, you know, Sage just put in a lot of work to, you know, take another leap. And, you know, much was made by the media that Sage Ryan had a 3-interception practice. And, you know, I've gained more information on that practice. It was a very windy day. Yeah, I'm always kind of skeptical of later practices in the spring because you're basically just doing the same thing over and over, going up against the same team, same roster every single day. It's kind of strange, and you start picking up on things. So I'm excited that potentially Sage Ryan will take another leap. The issue for me though, TJ, is there are some guys on the LSU defense that are returning that flat out had too many bad games and bad moments. So I think what some people think of like, who do you think will have to step up and be a star for us next year for that to happen? You know, it's funny, TJ. Defense is a weak link thing, okay? It is a weak link thing, right? Offensively is a little bit more of a stronger link thing where you put, you know, let's just say you put Malik Nabers on Arkansas. That guy is so good offensively, he's going to have like one 10-catch, 200-yard game, and he'll go out there and win a game for Arkansas, right? Even on a bad team. Defensively, it's so much harder to do that because eventually, if you know where the weak link is, you get to decide where you want to attack that weak link, right? If one team has a bad corner, you can decide, you can scheme that. Lane obviously is really good at that. So the issue for LSU last year wasn't just the fact that the scheme sucked and, you know, Madhouse was bad. But it was also that we had too many weak links, way too many. I feel defense, especially the higher level you go, yes, a TJ Watt moves a freaking needle for you defensively. Yes, a healthy Marshawn Lattimore makes the Saints that much better of a team, especially since they play a lot of man coverage defense. I'm not saying that individual defenders don't change anything for you, but gosh darn it, they better be decent enough to where you can play them. Okay. So you've got to be playable. One thing that I have noticed from Sage Ryan, and I would love, and it would take like Stats Bomb, or a truly great analytical tracking company to do this, sports information solutions or anything. So I'm going to reach out to Math Bomb to figure this out and see if they'll do it. I'll even pay him to do the study. But one of the most underrated things in college football is the touchdown saving tackle. It is the single most underrated thing. I used to think drop interceptions was like the thing that wasn't talked about enough in football. But now it's just starting to be discussed. Dropped INTs are so huge. But one guy that I almost called him John Battle. Maybe let me make sure I get his name correctly. I'm going to give an Alabama Crimson Tide safety, Jordan Battle. Okay, is his name. War number 9. Okay. Jordan Battle for Alabama is not the best safety to ever play in the Nick Saban defense. He's probably not even close. Definitely not in the top 5. All right. But what he was so good at was the touchdown saving tackle. That dude could run people down. And he's not the fastest guy. He just took good angles and made a lot of touchdown saving tackles. It's a little anecdotal. I don't follow Alabama every single day or anything like that. But gosh, that is a very valuable skill. Because as many of you know, you hear this all the time, the red zone shrinks the field. Okay? So forcing a team to convert in the red zone is so huge. It is a trickle-down effect. All right? So stick with me. I'm going on a little diatribe, and this is going to be a study for our patrons coming up pretty soon. Okay? The first thing about, let's just say someone breaks off like a, the ball's at the 50-yard line, it breaks off like a 30-yard run. What's really good about a touchdown saving tackle is what actually happens on the sideline. Okay? So if you're able to shoestring a guy and tackle him at the 5-yard line, that signals to the offensive coaches, hey, we better be ready. They might score soon. We got to get back on the field. Whereas if they do just go ahead and score on a 50-yard touchdown run, offense essentially has to get right back on the field. All right. So there is value in that. And it also, you know, gives your offense a little bit more time to rest. But the main value in making a touchdown saving tackle is it just in theory cuts the opponent's points in half, right? Let's say LSU makes 5 more touchdown saving tackles last year, because as a lot of you know, there wasn't a whole lot of throw over the top touchdowns on the LSU defense. That was something that Matt House's defense overall did a fine job of. There wasn't a whole lot of explosive plays. You said we couldn't tackle. If we make, let's say, 7 to 8 more touchdown saving tackles, and there was plenty of opportunities to do that. It's just our DBs played like their feet were in mud. Let's just say you make 10 more of those, and you force on 5 of those field goals. All right, touchdown percentage. Let's say you tackle someone at the 5-yard line. You force 5 field goals. All right, so let's do some math. That is 20 points over the course of a season, because instead of 7, they're getting 3. So 4 times 5, 20-point difference. 20-point difference. If you just make 5 more touchdown saving tackles. And what I want you to do, all right, is go through how many times you saw this past year where LSU allowed a guy, when they had the opportunity, to not even juke them out of their shoes, but just run right by them. Okay? So that's what concerns me about returning a lot of our secondary. It's not necessarily that they didn't go out there and make plays. It's that they allowed the other team to make a play that they shouldn't have been able to make, if that makes sense. Okay? So I say all of that because Tate Ryan is really bad at the touchdown saving tackle. I mean, we have got tons of evidence towards this. Spring game. Late to react on Caleb Jackson. Didn't even touch him. Walk in touchdown. Texas A&M game. Omar Spates gets beat by Max Wright. It was a tough tackle for Sage Ryan to make, but he didn't make it. Touchdown. Alabama game. Jalen Milroe running to the left side. Way past the line of scrimmage. Sage Ryan late to react to at least try to prevent him from scoring. Those are just three examples now. Those are the little things that I look for. Okay. So that's how that question from TJ is so good. It's not just because it was a 999 super chat. It also brings up a very important point about defense. And it goes back to why the best defensive mind of all time, who reminded you in front of however many million people are watching that roast this past weekend, Bill Belichick's message was always very simple. As a defensive-minded guy, do your job. Okay? Because if you're a safety, guess what? That's why your name is safety. You are the safety valve. All right. Anyone that works in health inspection or anything like that, you're viewed as a safety. You mitigate disasters before they happen. You have to align people. And when a disaster happens, your job is to not prevent the disaster from happening. It is already starting. Your job is to mitigate the damages. Okay. And that's why it's so important to bring guys down inside the 20-yard line. It's a hard thing to do. It is a hard thing to do. But God is my witness. Battle for Alabama was good at that. So good at that. I don't even think he was that great of a safety. I thought he was pretty good safety. He's not like a Minka Fitzpatrick, Jamal Adams level player. He's good. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, TJ, and that's the thing. Like, let's just use DeMond Clark, for example, because that his name's going to get brought up more than anyone else over the next couple of weeks. Okay. And not the next couple of weeks, all the way up until the season. You know, DeMond Clark, for those that don't remember, was, you know, one of the best, ended up being one of the best linebackers of the LSU modern era. We had the best single season, one of the best single seasons, almost won the Buckets Award. Okay. So he was not really that good before Blake Baker came in and fixed him. And DeMond Clark wore number 18 and is still starting on a playoff defense for the Dallas Cowboys. And he went from being, you know, a liability to being very, 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 very good. Now, I think his struggles in 2020 were somewhat a bit overstated. So there you go. What I would tell you, though, about DeMond Clark is athletically, he was always special. I mean, there was legendary stories about him in the weight room, all right? How hard he worked and all that stuff. But, you know, athletically, the potential was always there. So he was not only gifted, he took coaching well, and he got the number 18 uniform, okay? So, you know, it's hard to turn someone into a star. Right now, LSU's defense has one superstar, and that's Harold Perkins. They have one. Now, there's plenty of other players that have the potential to be a superstar. Obviously, Deshaun Womack is one. Braden Swenson, sure, perfect. But it's hard, okay? If you actually go look at every single recruiting class, most of them don't turn into superstars. About 50% of your players turn out to be good. It's give or take 50. Some years more than others, it could get into the 60s. That's rare. And sometimes it can get down into the 30s. Very rare. But at LSU, about half of the time, and most schools, about half of the time, your players become good starters. But on average, there's 3 to 4 superstars in every single recruiting class. Okay. So why do I bring that up? Well, we're entering year 3 of the Brian Kelly era, and year 3 is the prime time year for the class from 2-ish years ago. So like the class of 2020, 2023 is their prime time year. It's their money year. Okay. So right now, in LSU's money year, in a high school class where they only brought in 15 guys, 3 of them are projected first-round picks. Harold Perkins, Emory Jones, and Will Campbell. Emory Jones and Will Campbell, yeah, I will never say anybody is like a lock to be a first-rounder. But Will Campbell and Emory Jones are pretty daggum close. They're pretty daggum close. I mean, anything can happen, you know, from now until then. But if injuries don't happen, they are near mortal locks. Knowing what we know about offensive tackle, Will Campbell plays left tackle. Emory Jones can play tackle, guard, or center. He is truly, he's probably the most athletic LSU offensive lineman I've ever seen. I think he's so special. I think he could be the number one pick. I think him or Will can be the number one pick. And Harold Perkins has a very good shot of being either a day one. He won't fall past day two because of the athleticism and the early breakout. So the issue is that you didn't sign that big of a high school class. Walker Howard was a part of that class. He's no longer here. The Jaden Davis Robinson kid is no longer here. Mason Taylor is also a part of that class. Pretty good player. DeMario Tolan, a part of that class. Went to Auburn. I don't know what happened. So that class ended up being pretty good as far as a hit rate. Yet 3 bona fide superstars. Mason Taylor is close to being a super, superstar, but he's a very, very, very great player. And I would say he's a star. Put some bias in there. So that's pretty good. It's pretty good if you ask me. Now, for a team to take that next step, though, who are your year 2 breakouts going to be? Can Womack have a massive year 2 breakout? Can Toviano have a massive year 2 breakout? I hope so. I do. Now, Bullfrog wants Caleb Jackson to move to defense? Come on now. Caleb Jackson and Jordan Gilbert should be the safeties. I think you meant to say Kylan Jackson, and that's okay. I got what you're saying. Now, I get asked all the time, Carter, you get these collectibles. How do you get them? Where do I start? How do I learn about it? Well,
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top 5 pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. There you go. Once again, was Landon Jackson in that class? No, he was in the class before that with Mason Smith. I was actually a little bit shocked that he went back to Arkansas. It is interesting, though. He would probably start for us. I mean, he's good. I don't think he's great, but I will say he tore up Alabama last year. I mean, massacred them. You honestly, if you watch him versus Alabama, you would have thunk he was Julius Peppers. I mean, the dude just took over that football game. And he's had other good games, but that was stupid. And I'm like, man, I would have loved him to be in the game versus Alabama this past year. Because what do we struggle with? Contain. Bullfrog says, I was changing my son. Now, Bullfrog. Gotta have a chat with you, man. You might not like your kid, but to go exchange him for another kid, seek help. Changing your son, you're giving up on him? You're giving up on whatever your kid's name is? No. Pegasus says, has there been a transfer that really hurt us when they left? Ironically, both of the ones that went to Arkansas. I mean, McLaughlin would have definitely helped us last year. He was a very opportunistic corner. But he made plays. He was good. But that was just never going to work out. Okay. So, yeah, he did. Landon, obviously, would have been nice. Chef says Elias Ricks. No, that's not true. Because he was one and done at Alabama. Our corner room was fine. It wasn't the corner room 2 years ago. I mean, we were okay there. I mean, we weren't like unreal there. So, yeah, I mean, Elias Ricks probably would have been our most talented corner in the room, but that's not here nor there. But, you know, Mekhi Gardner and Jarek were good corners for us. And then Jarek also gave us some value at safety. But no, Ricks didn't hurt us. And obviously, there's more to it, especially with him there. But, you know, McLaughlin and Lana Jackson are definitely that. And I keep going back to this as far as like the transfer portal is concerned. LSU has done, and Brian Kelly deserves a lot of credit for this. LSU has done a really good job of retaining their roster. They have done a really, really, really good job of retaining. And, you know, I feel this way a good chunk of the time. Unless the player is truly spectacular and would have every single school interested in him. And let's say Caleb Downs, okay? Like Caleb Downs knows he can go to the highest bidder and they're going to acquiesce to it because he's special. But rarely when a guy enters his name into the portal, does it truly move the needle for you if they are to return to your school? And sometimes I feel as if a guy wants to enter the portal, get the hell out. Thank you. unless they are true difference makers for you. Now, let me see here. Oh, dang. Are you kidding me? Cleveland blew out the Celtics tonight? Insane. Like, does Joe Mazzulla suck? Boston were 12.5-point favorites. I think I read something last year that Joe Mazzulla has, like, the most blowout losses when he's a double-digit favorite or something like that. But yes, the next 10 to 15, fire your question in there. And while you get your question in, and while some of you super chat, once again, don't forget, please help pay my web bill. I break even on my merch because they be cracking my skull over these web bills and the model bills. Go to powerhourlsu.com. Get you a shirt. Get you a thermal. Mug, join the PHO mug club. Hoodies, t-shirts, all the goodies. PowerLSU.com/shop. Y'all help me not be poor. Okay. Now, big shout out to LSU softball. Pull off the upset versus Tennessee. I love it. Go crazy. Shout out to them. They'll move on to the SEC semifinal. First time since 2017 they've been to SEC semifinal. Jaden Daniels, number 5, confirmed. Some Jay Russ love right there. LSU softball. Jamal Adams wasn't signed. At least his last contract was redunculous. You know, I'm excited. I DJ a lot of weddings, and I specialize in doing weddings in the middle of nowhere. Right, it's hard to get DJs out there. It's hard to play music in the middle of nowhere. So this is a very nice house I'm going to do this at this weekend. But I got the information, and it's GPS coordinates. Like, it's not even an address. There's not, it's I'm gonna have to get my compass out. Who has it that it wasn't Lady Antebellum that had the country song compass. It was a band that sang a girl crush at a song, country song compass. What was the name of that band? That was Lady Antebellum. What was the name of the band that sang Girl Crush? Little Big Town. Okay. I thought it was Little Big Town that did Compass. I had to get my compass out. But I didn't know, like, I didn't know that, like, what GPS coordinates even look like. It's been forever since I'd been in Miss Cleghorn's fifth grade geography class. I didn't know what it was. They sent me a bunch of numbers. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? How? They're like, yeah, here's the address. And it's -32.49863439, -3.4987¾. I was like, what, how do I, where am I supposed to go? So I gotta leave here. I gotta leave like at 8 a.m. because I don't want to get lost. I don't get lost. But that's weddings in the South, man. A lot of weddings in the South are just like in the middle of nowhere. Now I'll be spinning tracks next to some cattle. Blyberg says, are my musical tastes diverse? And you kind of have to have a diverse taste to do a bunch of weddings. I will tell you this. Like, my wife is like a musical expert. Like, she gets all into the weeds. I would like to think of myself as someone that has decent music knowledge, but not like great musical knowledge. I'm definitely terrible with the lyrics. I am the worst at picking up lyrics. So like the Kendrick Drake beef, I'm just like, yeah. Like I'm not smart enough to decipher all the lyrics. And for a while, I thought Bruce Springsteen did Living on a Prayer. At MRI today, it sounded like a bad dubstep DJ. That's me. It sounded like me. Yeah, Tolan had something happen. I've heard that he had something happen off the field, so I wish him nothing but the best. I really do. Yeah, I've no idea where Tolan is. No idea. No, I've struggled keeping up with who we're offering in the portal. Now, see, it's a four-star wide receiver who's 28 years old, played a few, played a full Major League Baseball career, and now he's coming back to play wide receiver at Arkansas. I love it. Monte Harrison. I can't wait. Hey, this still gives me hope for me. I'm ready, BK. If you want a defensive tackle that will bump and grind, hustle, I'm going to give it my best. Louisville DT flip from Oklahoma to Texas. I saw that earlier today. Very interesting. You know what happened there, right? He saw what they were paying Dominic Williams and said, I don't like broken promises, and went straight to the rival. That is 1,000,000,000% what happened. You know what's interesting about the baby, there's nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. I have to take that one off my playlist, obviously. Jared, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Best wedding line dance. So this is very interesting, Chris. There's actually quite a few couples that don't want line dances at all. You know, I like them just because it brings everyone together. It gets people on the dance floor. And then obviously the challenge is to keep them on the dance floor. It's a hard thing to do. But if you know what you're doing, you'll figure it out. But the best wedding line dance, I got to go friend of the channel. New Cupid, the Cupid Shuffle. Little known fact about Cupid, he is just an all-around awesome guy. All-around, just awesome guy. It was kind of crazy. Like, I'd seen him at an LSU event for a game, actually. And I had not talked to him in a decade. And he remembered everything about me. We did some kind of radio thing when I first started doing radio. And he's awesome. Apparently, he is with Malik, and he's tied with Malik and Trey Harris because they both played at the same high school. So I'm always going to give Cupid his flowers. And in fact, he doesn't get enough credit. There's two artists who don't get enough credit. No parking, baby. Well, y'all go ahead. Give me your best wedding song in the chat right now. It doesn't have to be a line dance. Cha-cha real smooth. Cole, yes, I do funerals. Send me your playlist. I'd love to come do it. Is it for you? Hopefully it's not for you, Cole. You're too big of a part of what we've done here on PHL. Well, yeah, Cole, we could work something out, man. I'd obviously be pretty kind of sad, but if you are not from Louisiana, that might seem foreign to you, but quite a few Louisiana are people from Louisiana. We like our funerals to be a celebration, in particular New Orleans, Louisiana. So, yeah, let me know. I hope you are in good health right now. But, yeah, sure. Love to do it. It'd be my honor. But yeah, I'm definitely not like You're not going to think that I'm Sir Mix-a-Lot on the turntables. I am not Steve Aoki. I'm not Jazzy Jeff. I just do my thing. Yeah, music is the spice of life, man. It was cool though. So I saw Cupid at this event, and I'd left this event, and Cupid Shuffle was playing over the speakers, and people started dancing, and he was just standing right there. Like if I was him, I'd be like, "Yeah, it's my song. It's me. All right, yeah. So send your tips and just kidding." But I walked away. I wish I would have been. I've always wanted to stand next to someone while their song played. But Cupid is very successful. He still does a bunch of shows. Never himself became unfreaking unbelievably popular. But to me, he's always going to be one of my favorite artists. Bias, but whatever. But the band that doesn't get enough credit, or the music group that doesn't get enough credit, is We Are Fly for making Swag Surfing. Like, there isn't a sporting event where I go to and I hear Jay-Z. Now, Jay-Z, of course, is a better artist. But there's not really a whole lot of, you know, songs that you'll hear in New York at a shindig. But, you know, if you go to a sporting event in the South, you're going to hear Swag Surfing. You're going to hear Swag Surfing. Every single one, they're going to play it. And, you know, We Are Fly could walk into a room and no one would know who they are. Swag Surfing, though. And the sad thing about it is they probably didn't make a whole lot of money off of it. Like, it's insane. Like, it's one reason why I wouldn't want to be in the music industry is, like, you know, for the most part, when my live shows, it's me on here. I'm just talking. Like, I don't have to play a whole lot of licensing or anything like that. You know, I have someone that does my music licensing, and you've seen him in here. It's Dex, and he handles all that for me as far as, like, the opening and all that stuff. I didn't know he was going to do it, but he did, and he sent it to me. I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. But yeah, you know, like, music, that's just insane. Absolutely insane. How many writers, producers, you know, I was working in radio, you really learn, like, how many different tentacles are part of the operation. You know, one thing I'll say, I'm not able to watch this video. I'll play it. This one just got sent to me. So I didn't see it. But I'm going to go ahead and play it. I'm interested because it actually just works out. Because we happen to be talking about this topic. Okay. We're talking about music. Here's Plies talking about the Brian Kelly comments.
It is real quick, but this is just a post responding to Coach Kelly, Brian Kelly at LSU. I seen the post he put that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And he was basically saying he's not willing to pay no players to come play at LSU. And a lot of people took that as if, you know, he old school, he don't want to see kids get paid and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I ain't look at it that way. I actually agree with Coach Kelly. Because all he's saying is, I'm not willing to trick. Yeah, you heard exactly what I said. All he's saying is, I ain't tricking. And if you from the street, you supposed to know what tricking means. He just said he ain't tricking, which means he's not finna pay for it. He ain't finna pay for your services. He feel like LSU, the brand and the institution, got too much to offer you that he shouldn't have to pay for your services. And when you look at it in street terms, he got a point. That's just like a female, right? They're like a stripper right now that wants you to pay for it. She clearly needs some money. Because she had money, she wouldn't even be asking you to pay for it. But if you're the one with the money, ain't no way you finna tell me what I got to pay, how much. You ain't finna set the price in the stomach. You ain't got no money. You ain't got no motion. You just got a service that you want me to believe should cost X, Y, and Z. But if I'm the one with the money and I'm the one with the motion, I hold all the leverage. You ain't got no leverage. Your leverage is just what's between your legs. And for the football player, your leverage is your skill set and your talent. I understand that. But all Coach Kelly saying here, I'm not finna trick with you. So go find somebody else who want to trick. And I want to be in a relationship with the people who want to be in a relationship with me. So I understand both sides. But all Coach Kelly was saying is, I'm not willing to trick. And I respect that.
Obviously, a lot of the points that we've made. But it's another way of saying it. The stripper comments was a lot. And I think most people actually do agree with Brian Kelly. It's just, once again, it was the diction that he used, the specific verbiage saying, well, we're not going to go buy players. But his overarching point kind of got lost in all of it. Crazy week for us because we tweeted out the junk clip and went wild. Once again, if I am talking about a clip in my video, because I normally don't start my shows with a bunch of audio, but that audio was so explosive, I was like, okay. So sometimes the audio won't play on StreamYard, the service that I use. So I always have the clip ready to go on my Twitter account because I know it's going to work. So that was the main point. Plus, I also look at the responses and go from there. But I'll tell you this. I do not know Dominic Williams. I don't. I didn't have any issue with him in particular. from now until the end of time, I am going to have issues with handlers. Now until the end of time. And I'm just saying, his handler did some weird things. Now, the next 5 to 10, I'll answer as many questions as I possibly can. But if you super chat, we'll keep it going. Now we go to Jared. It doesn't matter how Kelly said it. The whole country hates him. You're right. I cannot think of a head coaching combo that is hated more than Brian Kelly and Kim Mulkey. Okay, I can't think of two coaches at any school that people truly do despise nationally like Brian Kelly and Kim Mulkey. And what's funny is it's like different pockets of people all throughout the spectrum. Different backgrounds, different media organizations, different political affiliations. There's so many that just don't like them. And I get it. You're not going to like everyone. You're just not. Can't please everyone. A lot of the best coaches of all time are not liked, are not affable. And they're in. You know, those two coaches, Kim and Brian, have had missteps. I will tell you that as well. But the one thing I can defend them, taking away my LSU bias and how much I love them because they are the coaches of my favorite teams, they truly do have haters. And it goes like, for instance, let's just say the Kim Mulkey anthem stuff. That didn't shock me. That got blown out of proportion. Anytime anything regarding that story and anthems and all of that is going to be explosive. What really showed me that people hate Kim Mulkey wasn't even the Washington Post story. It wasn't even any of that. It was actually what happened in the SEC championship game when 1 6-foot-8 player came and de-cleated a 6'2" player. Okay. And all Kip Mulkey said was pick on somebody your own side. That's all she said. Paraphrasing. That isn't everything she specifically said. But what was the story? It wasn't the fact that a player, Camila Cardoso, who I like now, she's Angel Reese's teammate, but she does have a history of physical altercations. She had one in international play. The story wasn't the fact that she knocked out a player. The story wasn't the fact that that player's brother jumped onto the court. That was obviously very shocking. Those two things should have been the story. Those are the two crazy things that happened. I've seen benches clearing brawls. I mean, I've seen it all. But those two things were the craziest things. South Carolina superstar knocks out LSU superstar. LSU superstar's brother jumps up to the floor. No, that wasn't the national conversation after the play. The national conversation all happened because Kim Mulkey said something that a lot of people say all the time. Pick on somebody your own size. She didn't do that to Angel Reese. She did that to somebody 6 foot. If Mike Tyson comes and levels me, not a fair fight. But it was Kim Mulkey. She didn't say it. She didn't say it perfect. And it's the same thing here with Brian Kelly. he didn't say it absolutely perfect. And I've definitely been, you know, one of the more vocal people just in general, LSU affiliate or not, that said, hey, I wouldn't have said it like that. But it was overblown. Way overblown. But media loves to hate Brian Kelly. There's a little extra something. It's just there. It's just how it works. Let's go to Eric. He says, Carter, what's up with Jakeem Stewart? In my opinion, he seems very off when LSU's name gets brought up. Okay. Let's talk about this. All right. As you guys know, I don't tend to talk about rising juniors in high school. There are exceptions. I've obviously spent a lot of time talking about Bryce Underwood well over a year ago when, you know, there was real momentum that we were going to get him. And there's still, you know, a lot of people that thought he was going to go to Michigan. He's going to go to LSU. Okay, so I spent a lot of time. That's a five-star quarterback from out of state. And quarterbacks commit earlier. Unless Jakeem Stewart was announcing his decision soon, I'm not going to talk about him. He is a rising junior. Now, is he the number one rated player in the country? Yes. If he were to commit, would he be one of the highest rated recruits LSU has ever brought in? Yes. And would that be a big needle mover at a position we're trying to rebuild? Yes, but he is a 2026 guy. Now, what I will tell you, it's not that I'm sidestepping any Jakeem Stewart thing. Jakeem Thanos Stewart. For those who don't know, he is the number one player in 2026, St. Aug High School, where Leonard Fournette went to, and many others. There's a bunch of St. Aug graduates on LSU staff right now. Okay? So, what I would say is don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. It's so early in the process. Now, Eric, if you were to reclassify to 2025, then the wheels need to start moving a little bit better for us in terms of him committing to LSU. I still think he's going to go to LSU, but it's still so early. It is still so early. And I don't know if he's going to reclassify or not. I do know Bo Davis was at one of his practices. You know who else was at one of his practices? Larry Johnson. Okay, those are the two best defensive line coaches in America right now. Larry Johnson, of course, at Ohio State. So obviously he's a special talent. But a rising high school junior, what he says in interviews doesn't really interest me at this point. It just doesn't. And Eric, thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate you. Now, one thing that I would say to follow that up with, okay, and I think I got to make sure I say this correctly. Because I don't want anyone to jump down my throat about this. You know who else didn't have the most boisterous, glowing interviews throughout his recruiting process towards LSU or really towards any school? Dominic McKinley. He didn't interview a pressing guy. Why have you sent it to me? I watched it. Was it the most glowing thing for LSU? No, but what happened? He eventually committed to LSU. So, you know who else had an interview that wasn't like the absolute most glowing interview ever towards LSU? Harold Perkins. Harold Perkins. So, I would never read too much into any high schooler's interview. Unless they say something truly specific or truly eyebrow-raising. because always remember this when it comes to high school recruiting. The idea of it, the coverage of it, is so stupid. It doesn't make sense. But the reason why we cover it so much is because it makes a lot of people a lot of money. It makes a lot of people a lot of money. Recruiting generates a lot of clicks. Recruiting generates a lot of subscriptions, which in theory is more valuable than clicks. So that's why there's so much coverage of recruiting. You know, I saw this, and I've discussed this before with Blake. I don't know, and Blake did this for DeCorian Moore and Deshaun Womack. I don't know if I'll ever do a recruit's commitment announcement. Now, if I'm with a different organization and they ask me to do it, then I'll do it. But I'm not sure unless, you know, a kid reaches out or there's an opportunity for both of us. And the reason why I don't want to do it is what's really shocking about that is there are some people, and I watch quite a few of these announcements, that I never see on college football YouTube. And my theory is there are some people who only follow high school recruiting. Like they don't necessarily even have a team that they like. They just follow it because they like it. There's so much anticipation. There's so much promise for the future. It's one of those things that you remember. I remember, everyone remembers where they were when Leonard Fournette made his announcement for LSU or Alabama. Everyone remembers a Landon Collins thing. But, like, when you really think about it, probably the dumbest thing that we do in college football is how much we care about recruiting. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But you notice, when I do recruiting, the main thing I focus on, can you play? Do you profile well athletically with what Brian Kelly's trying to build? And are you committing? Notice, a lot of what I do on here, and it hurts me in the long run because people normally want these kind of updates, is what's the latest? Okay? What's the latest with this? What's the latest with that? What's the latest? It's a lot. So, one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to defend Jakeem Stewart, and it's easy to defend, you know, a high school kid. But you're a five-star, can't-miss Louisiana prospect in the NIL age with a cool nickname, Thanos. Mentally, it has to screw with you. It really, really, really does. Okay? And look, here's Jared. Jared, as many of you know, is probably the most diehard PHLer. Donates a lot of his time, money, live streams. He's a friend of mine. I could tell you this. Does he care about recruiting? Yes. But he's like me. Like, the day-to-day stuff is just kind of, like, for instance, good example. I get asked a lot about DeCorian Moore. What's the latest on DeCorian Moore? I don't know. All I know is that he's committed to LSU right now. If you were to go to Oregon, if he was to go to Ohio State, if he was to go to Texas, that would make a lot of sense for him. I don't think that's what he's going to do. I think he should go to LSU. But, you know, the day-to-day stuff, let the young man make a decision. I'll support him wherever he wants to go. I support every kid wherever they want to go. I will support you. I want every player to live their dreams. But, you know, rarely does a high school, like, interview go and it's like, oh, that was revolutionary. Now, Colin Hurley, it's a bit of a different story. Huh? But, yes, I do think Jakeem Stewart will pick LSU. I do. St. Aug, defensive lineman, come on. Is LSU talking to Tyler Barron? That's a good question. Everybody welcome Scott V to the channel. Tyler Barron. So I like Tyler Barron a lot. He actually is really freaking good at football. So he is a defensive end. He can also be a pass rushing DT in like a race car package. They did some of that for him with them in Tennessee. I don't know if I want anything to do with him now. So he was at Tennessee, started, committed to Ole Miss, left Ole Miss, went to Louisville. Apparently he's back at the portal again. I don't know. I've not kept up with him at all, Scott. Would he be one of the better players on our team next year? Yes, he is good. He's very good. But I don't think what we're trying to do perfectly aligns with what he's trying to accomplish. Now, I could be totally wrong. I've not heard anything on Tyler Barron. I've heard distant rumors about other potential high-profile guys. I normally don't wait until there's actual smoke and visits are set because I just go to Scott. He says he's a good kid from what I hear. He just wanted more money than you two wanted to give him. He very well could be. And I'm not going to character assassinate the kid either. But if you're committed and you start at Tennessee, I mean, Tennessee, top 15 program in college football. You're at Tennessee. Go to Ole Miss. Leave Ole Miss. Go to Louisville. Now, we don't know what you're doing. Do I really want someone that's on his fourth team in a month? In a month? Like, this is great. It's just crazy to me. Four teams in a month? I thought it was crazy that Barkevious Mingo's first six seasons in the NFL, he played for six different teams. But I've never heard of four different teams in a month. That's wild. But if he's a good kid and he wants to align with what we're trying to build at LSU, hell yeah, I'd want Tyler Barron here. So Tyler, if you're watching this, DM me. I'll get you hooked up with the right folks. And you can come play for a school that's produced a lot of first-round picks on the defensive line. Okay? Now, we'll do a few more thanks to Eric's Super Chat. If each one of y'all Super Chatted $2, I'd be able to keep my website up. My dragon, you freeze. Cliff, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, Man City win it all again this year. My Liverpool Reds choked it up. Ah, okay, so there you go, James. You deserve it, man. I'm glad I got there safely. I've been giving out a good bit of my collection. Gave out a gave out a photo of Ahmad Bro. I think that was my last Ahmad Bro photo. All right, so Adam Schefter unveiled Jaden Daniels getting the jersey number 5 today. Okay? So here you go. Number 5 was worn by Tressway, the punter, here to the left side. Okay? So Jaden gets his number 5, as he should. Love the hair, Jaden. Okay? So Commanders Tressway did not want a cash transaction from Jaden Daniels for the number 5. Instead, as part of the exchange, when Way is done from his NFL career, Daniels plans to send Way and his family to an Oklahoma LSU football game, presumably with good seats, per source. I think that could be arranged. So Jaden gets a major W. So normally these jersey number transactions, for like a single digit from, you know, a QB coming over, it could be anywhere from like 20K to even 100K. I know when you switch your jersey number and you're on the same team, or if you're on your team, like Debo Samuel, his jersey number is number 19. He's switching to jersey number 1 for the 49ers. He has to buy all the jerseys of his that are in existence or something like that, that have been printed for that year. You guys know I'm a jersey number snob. Jaden Daniels needs to be in a single digit. And he needs to be wearing number 5. All right, Cliff, you get to pick the next topic. Go right ahead. If not, I'm going to take my butt to bed. That is crazy. All right, y'all want to go pass out? There's still 180 of you in here. Y'all ready to go to bed? I don't mind chilling for a little bit longer. Goodness. Hi. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I heard Cam tell that story. Tell him, Cole. Tell him. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. Shout out to our top super chatters. Yet again, TJ actually takes home the crown. He won himself a Jamar Chase photo. Cliff, Eric, Semper coming in with the $2, and Jared with a 5 spot. Once again, thanks to our friends, NoOffseason.com. We're proud to be part of the NoOffseason.com network. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. JVR Suggs, you know what to do. Tonight, we're doing enchiladas. Let's go. See you Sunday night. Let's go.